God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, so let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, we read, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Their God is their stomach. That can be translated to mean their God is their emotions. You know, you feel something in your gut, your emotions. True. It's easy enough to make a God of our emotions. I don't know if you've ever done it. You know, I was talking to a brother the other day, and he's dealing with some serious marital issues. And God willing, they're going to work this out. And I know one side of the story, so I just to be clear, I don't know both sides. From what I hear from my brother, he's been cheated on, and it's more than once. So at this point, he has biblical justification to end the marriage, and they have three little children. And his wife, he believes, is now seriously repentant. She has come to know the Lord. He believes, though he doesn't know. He doesn't trust her, and at this point, he shouldn't. He was praying, why, God, do I have this wife? And you can go back to his life choices, how they met, etc. Neither of them knew the Lord, sure. But he was praying, why this wife? Why don't I have another wife? Why don't I have a wife who I can love and admire and adore, respect, trust, put on a pedestal? And God said, because of that last part. What he told my friend was, you aren't emotionally capable of having a wife about whom you feel those things because you would love her more than you love me. You're not capable of it. This is a guy who's let probably $3 or $4 million just evaporate out of his hands. Still a successful man. They own a couple of homes, some property, investment properties, some cash flow businesses. Very successful. But not at stewarding money. Even with all of that, still the money's pouring out of the household. God seems to be saying to him, you want a lot of things, but I don't know that I'm able to trust you with the things I've given you to steward. So God's saying, you're not ready for a wife you could admire. One of the things that came to me late in life, and one of the things I share with the young men with whom I work, is that one must be capable of, worthy of having a godly wife. You think God's going to give you his very best daughters if you're not worthy? I don't think so. People can become not worthy, but through grace, of course, people can change if they allow Jesus to change them, and perhaps this man's wife has changed him. I mean, that's a local story, and it's a personal story, and it's a guy I can't even name. So how does it relate to a national radio show? Well, again, the Bible verse is Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. The Columbia Law Review, the editors, want to cancel student exams because people are irrevocably shaken by the campus riots. Irrevocably shaken by something that's been manufactured and pushed forward by manipulating people's emotions, their gods. If you don't have a cause, someone will hand you one. if your cause, having been handed to you, gives you the feelings of religion, you wouldn't even know it because you've never been exposed to true faith. So you could find out that you're protesting for someone else's religion and you wouldn't even know it. That's what's happening in the college campuses. And the feelings of the editors of the Columbia Law Journal are, well, we can't have kids. Wait, they're not kids. We can't have college students, adults, take a test because there were some protests, emotions. That's their gods. Could the kids take the test? Yeah. Should they? Sure. We had World War II, we had Vietnam, and people took tests. People are taking one now. Everyone's taking one now. Who's your God? You know that phrase, show me your budget, I'll show you your priorities? I'll say this, show me your calendar. I'll show you how you're acting in your priorities. Don't have a calendar? What's prioritized? Again, the verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. This from the Fox News people, who are they're playing a fun game here, Fox News is. George Washington University anarchists call for beheadings of school administrators amid anti-Israel encampment. Guillotine, 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 a person repeatedly chanted. So let's pause. They're not anarchists. They're paid agitators. They're Antifa-trained agitators. Antifa is not an anarchist group. They are a group that, remember, backed the lockdowns, backed forcibly injecting people with the modified RNA injections. They're not anarchists. Anarchists are about no government. So Fox News is playing their game because they call themselves anarchists who only appear on one side of an issue. That is the issue that is destruction to America. And in this case, of course, destruction to Israel. Why Israel? Why? Emotions. So easily manipulated when you don't have a cause and someone hands you one. Tiny little country that is repeatedly brought up as the target of hatred. Well, of course it's because of the covenant God made with the Jewish people. Of course it's that. When you don't have a cause and someone hands you a cause and it makes you feel good and it fires up the dopamine in your mind and serotonin release afterwards, you're not going to sit and say, why am I doing this? Because it feels so good. My friend, I told you about at the beginning of the show, in this troubled marriage, found that his wife has been unfaithful to him more than twice, probably three times, maybe more. She's now repentant. Oh, he's struggling too. His emotions, I mean, to discover this and have a wife now repentant and turning it around, and his emotions are doing this to him, that this is my exit point. I can get out. And maybe he should. Given what she's done to him, he has absolute biblical justification. But his emotions are telling him this. Well, it's complicated, he said to me, Todd, because I've met the perfect woman. Oh, okay. No, she's perfect. Okay, perfect. How? Well, we just wouldn't have any of these problems. How? Do you know that? Well, she's just so together and intentional. And how do you know her? Oh, we've worked together for years. Oh, you know her at work. Well, it's just that when we talk, even on work topics, it just feels so good. Oh, there we go. Right. The dopamine of talking to someone to whom you're attracted. Got it. The sin problem. And he said, no, it's not that. No, it's not. I feel seen. You feel. I feel heard. Yep, you feel. I'm not telling my brother one way or the other what to do, other than to make sure that God is at the center of the decision. Someone could be handing him something. a whole new set of headaches. How would his young kids react? You think he's going to go to him and say, well, your mom's a cheater? I hope not. I hope God rescues the marriage. Why am I comparing this to Antifa and anarchists? Because someone came and handed him a cause, and it feels so good. It feels so good to let go of hatred, to puke it on other people. It feels powerful. From Fox News, they're not anarchists, Fox News. Please stop that silly game. Agitators at John Washington University in Washington, D.C. have apparently called for beheadings of school administrators amid their continued anti-Israel encampment. On Tuesday, demonstrators on campus called for the guillotine to be used on GW President Ellen Granberg and other school administrators, a video posted to social media showed. Guillotine, 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 a person repeatedly chanted as others joined in, while some specifically targeted Christopher Allen Bracey, GW's African-American provost. Why are you doing that, Fox? Why does this race matter? Because you're playing a game. The National Desk reported, Bracey, Bracey, we see you. You assault students too. To the guillotine, another can be heard shouting per the report. Off to the... And expletive deleted. With you too, off to the gallows. Their God is their stomach. See, the challenge for my friend is, as I've been talking about with this failing marriage, I'm sure it feels good to talk to that woman at work. Probably would feel really good to talk to her over coffee. And then suddenly he's done what his wife has done to him. Because it probably felt good to be paid attention to. In this case, it feels good for these students. Look, we're scaring people. We're a part of a cause. We're standing for the fallen. We're speaking out. We're changing things. You're changing nothing. You are being transformed by the things of this world. You're being transformed into the worst type of hatred, and that is the blind type. Hating someone for no reason other than someone handed you a cause and said, here, carry this around in your heart. Worst of all, you're divorcing yourself from God. Because this sort of hatred in God can't coexist in your body. The kingdom of heaven cannot be in your body right now, I don't think. Again, the verse this morning, at least for this segment of the show, Philippians 3:19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Matthew Graves, the prosecutor who is busily rounding up grandmothers who prayed in the Capitol for 10 minutes and tossing them in prison, or pardon me, jail, he's decided to ignore murders and robberies where guns are used in Washington, D.C. He declined to prosecute one-third of so-called gun cases, dropped 37% of charged cases, reduced 50% of convictions to just misdemeanors, usually by offering generous golden ticket plea agreements. This comes from D.C. Crime Facts. And it breaks down pretty impressively. The U.S. Attorney's Office outright refused to prosecute 33% of arrests for felony gun possession. Remember, it's a gun problem. We got to get the guns off the street. 37% of the initially charged cases were later dropped without a conviction. 50% of the convictions in the United States Attorney's Office did win were misdemeanors only, up from 41% in 2022 and just 29% in 2018. His God is his stomach. In this case, I think it's the taste for power. He'd like more of it. And he knows that serving the machine is going to give him more of that. Judge Cannon has paused the document case with President Trump because the appetite of the prosecutors there was such they were willing to manipulate evidence. Literally manipulate it. We'll come back on The Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Mixing metaphors this morning. No, not really. Philippians chapter 3, verse 319. Philippians 3, verse 19. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. I was comparing this to two things. One, a friend of mine is, by the way, okay with me talking about that, not using his name, of course. And I've changed a few details here or there, just so you know. That he's in a very struggling marriage. He's learned that his wife has been unfaithful to him three times, perhaps more. She seems really repentant this time. He has justification then to end the marriage, but they've got three young kids. And he finds himself now thinking, fantasizing really, because he's not met the perfect woman, because newsflash, no human is perfect. But he's in that mindset. His feelings are so hurt on one side. And the other side, he feels so valued by this other lady that he's convincing himself, wow, we'd have the perfect life. Nope, you wouldn't. We're comparing that to these young people who've been handed a cause. They don't know what the cause means. They just know, dang it, it feels so good. It feels so good to have a cause, to be screaming at the moon. Look, we're changing things. We're causing our colleges to shut down. They may have to cancel final exams because of the feelings of the editors of the Columbia Law Journal. They want the final shutdown, the final tests. Kids have suffered this irrevocable damage because of protests. Not, by the way, to the janitors who are taking custody. I mean, that's just collateral damage. You know about that, right? The janitors who were locked up by these agitators, 40% of them from outside the school, not students at all. One of them is a multi trust fund millionaire. But he feels good. He feels good going back to a $2.3 million mansion in New York after having imprisoned a janitor. In my friend's marriage, there were all these gaps. And look, he's open about this. I travel too much for business. That's what he told me. He goes, look, some of this is on my shoulders. I travel globally for business. There's 6 weeks at a time that my wife doesn't see me. So I had to be lonely, and that was a mistake. And so I own up to my part of that. And then he says, but it doesn't make it okay for her to cheat on me. No, it doesn't. But you created a gap. Satan will fill the gaps. We can see gaps in our lives in retrospect, but often not while they're going on. There's all these gaps in these young people's lives. The medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns designed to push people to take these modified RNA injections designed for profit and power that stole from kids feelings of togetherness. It stole from them the building of actual community. Their time on video games getting fake causes, the dopamine hits, but none of the actual cause has created this massive hole, this massive gap. So Satan comes along with Hamas and says, here, let's fill that gap with anger and hatred against the Jewish people. Now the gap is filled. In the case of my friend and his marriage, there was the travel gap. Then there's this. He doesn't speak well. It's a struggle to get 7 words out of him. 14 is a stretch, a real stretch. He just says, I don't express myself that way. Actually says, that ain't me, bro. So when his wife needs to talk, he can listen, but he is not a guy who can communicate his feelings. He's learning, such as, I've found the perfect woman. So there were these gaps. What are the gaps in your life where Satan can play? You know where there's some real gaps? It's in the lives of young people. It's in father and son relationships, mother and daughter, and in the lives of young people, a gap between them and the one true God. There's a massive gap. We recently had what's being reported as a suicide of a pastor. One of our satellite churches, or it's a startup church. I'm a member at Real Life Ministries, Poles Falls, Idaho, and in the Silver Valley, not far from us, a pastor apparently, it seems, committed suicide. People have said,
How can a pastor do this? I want to talk about that. I don't know what caused it. I don't think anyone does at this point. There's still a lot of us saying, wow, I don't believe this is a suicide. A lot of other people saying, yeah, it was. There was obviously some gap, but how could that be? Pastors aren't perfect. They're human. And in fact, they're more likely to be under spiritual attack than others because they need to be targeted. Satan has to do them harm. First place I saw this, and I'm sure you've heard about the story, Colin Rigg is an independent journalist, and he reported this investigation that's been launched into the death of Mika Miller, died by gunshot wound, and it's being reported. It's apparently looks like a suicide, but there's a lot of questions, including her 911 call. This is very strange. This is how Pastor John Paul Miller address this, and this is the pastor's announcement that his wife had been found dead.
We're not going to do an altar call today. Instead, I'm going to have you stand up, and I'm going to make an announcement. And after the announcement, I'm going to ask that you leave church quietly and don't talk about the announcement here in the building, please, if you can, so y'all can stand to your feet. Before I make the announcement, I also want to say that my request to you is that you will continue to come to church and serve and give for the next, little bit. Cause I don't want to have, I'm taking a little bit of a break, and I don't want to have to worry about the church. My break may be a few days, a few weeks, I don't know. I got a call late last night. My wife has passed away. And yeah, it was self-induced, and it was up in North Carolina. And we're going to have a funeral for her next Sunday here at 3 p.m. And so it's all I can, I'm just kind of going on adrenaline right now. So y'all pray for me and my kids and everybody. And she wasn't, y'all knew that she wasn't well mentally, and that she needed her medicine that was hard to get to her. And so I'm sure there'll be more details to come, but just keep our family in your prayers. And I'm going to let Pastor Randall, my bishop, he can pray. I'll get him a microphone, he'll pray out. And if you have anything you want to share as well, I appreciate it.
So the pastor didn't want them to talk about that in church, to leave silently. That leaves a real gap. I don't know what happened. I don't think anyone knows what happened. Well, one person, Mika Miller, pray. Hopefully she's with the Lord. One would think. There had to be gaps. And these gaps are where Satan is playing, particularly in the lives of young people. I mentioned the suicide for this reason. In this case, apparently, we're told that his wife, a pastor's wife, committed suicide when the pastor of our church, it's not my church, but the satellite office, one of our church plants, been there a long time, dearly beloved, when he committed suicide, is what we're told happened. There was a lookalike attempt. A kid decided to try to take his life. Praise God, it was prevented. He asked, well, pastor did it. And people say he's going to heaven, so why can't I do it? I want to be with God too. It's a gap. I believe pastor's in heaven. I don't believe we have a God who punishes us for one insane mistake that way. Yeah, it's murder. Suicide's murder. So how do you talk to that young man? Well, you do it in advance. You do it in advance to let them know that Satan will surround you with lies, particularly when there are gaps. I allowed a gap in our household with our daughter, and that gap was not stepping in to what she was formulating in her mind in terms of body image. My daughter became obsessed with body image. She had wanted to be Asian. She's not. She wanted to weigh 70 pounds or something, which would have probably killed her. And I was listening to this and simply speaking back. I was just allowing a gap to grow. I didn't open the Bible and sit down with her and say, hey, what does God think of you? Let's look at what God thinks of you. I didn't do that. And in that gap,
Satan stepped in. So I allowed a gap in my daughter's life. And when she had an eating disorder, I didn't invoke God's word or impress it upon her. Today, parents are seeing the disastrous results of allowing gaps in kids' minds as their purpose, as per their purpose in life. And those gaps are being filled by pharma, the sexual left, and the corrupt media like PBS.
And this decision centered around two lawsuits, with trans people in West Virginia and North Carolina suing to secure insurance coverage for gender-affirming care, such as hormone therapy and surgery. The federal appellate court in Richmond, split 8-6, ordered that the state health care plans, quote, reinstate coverage for medically necessary services for the treatment of gender dysphoria. The American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics wrote briefs in support of the trans plaintiffs. It is a win for the trans community, but it may not be the final word on the issue.
There is no such thing as transgender people. That is not care. We speak these truths. We have to, because other people won't. This just happened in the safe state of Idaho. See, we're not safe. I joke on my podcast about broadcasting from the high mountains of free America, North Idaho. We are freer, and I do live on a mountain, although I do broadcast now and record from a studio closer to town. But people believe they're safe. My wife had a conversation at length yesterday with the mother, adopted mother of a girl who went to a school in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho called Lakes Middle School in Coeur d'Alene. She gave an interview to an independent journalist with the, it's called North Idaho Exposed, Idaho Tribune. And in this, she detailed how a school counselor in North Idaho, a conservative place, pushed her adopted daughter, according to her, into adopting a boy's identity, even as this girl was cutting herself like a ribbon on her arms, looks like 50 or 60 cuts. She showed pictures of this on this program. Cutting her legs looks like 50 or 60 cuts. A young girl continuing to cut herself, insisting she's a boy. The school teachers, some of them, and this counselor, so-called, saying, yes, 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 you're a boy. Here, you're a boy. We affirm you. You're exactly right. There's nothing wrong with you. To a girl who's cutting herself to ribbons, there's nothing wrong with you. Apparently, she has text messages, or at least emails, between this girl and some of the staff. They were visiting behind the scenes. We support you. Your parents don't know you're a boy, but dang it, we know it. We'll use the made-up name that you want, Felix. We'll use that. This was a girl who, just prior to this, said she was a cat. She wanted to be a cat named Felix. Huge gap. Now, this woman is a dear woman. She's fighting the good fight for her daughter. She's a godly woman, and man, was she naive. There was a gap. Satan is using this stuff to destroy kids, and I wish this mother had known that. I'm not blaming her by a long shot. She's heroic for speaking out. Heroic. And Lakes Middle School in Coeur d'Alene should fire this counselor today. Today. Oh, I haven't even told you the worst part. This mother, desperate to get her daughter help, sent her to a mental health facility in Idaho, where they said, yep, you're a boy. When she came home, she hated her mother even more. More suicide attempts, up to a point where she got out a knife or a razor, and on her face, she cut. She cut her mouth like the Joker in the Batman movies. And still people were saying, yep, you're a boy. She's now in a treatment facility. Her mother is happy with the progress. Her daughter didn't fight her. This girl knows she needs help. There are gaps in the world with young people, and I am begging you to flood these gaps. I'm begging grandmas and grandpas to get into the churches and the schools, into the youth program. I'm actually begging you. And then I'm reminding you of this. Those are God's kids. He said from the cross about his mother, his earthly mother, Mary and John, "Mother, behold your son. John, behold your mother." He sees us as a Christian family. This woman raised this girl as a Christian, a believing Christian. She needed backup. We are called to be that backup. There are gaps in what young women are being told will make them happy. There's a new book. It's called The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. And it's a book that says if young women want to be happy, their best bet is to ignore every single piece of advice being given them by the modern world. Yes, you can work. Your primary goal should be to have a family if you are blessed that way. If you're single, find the blessing in that, such as ministry. And your goal should be a family. From the family, then, yes, maybe some work. But again, family first. And she says that the outcomes are shockingly better for women who choose that path. Why would that be? Could it be that it's because it comes from the mind of the designer? The one who designed the machines know how they run best, right? Right. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Been inspired this morning by a verse from the Bible. Such good inspiration. So fun when God takes over the show. I was literally just before the show began. You could ask Randy. I didn't have this verse in the show sheet. And it's not. We don't use teleprompters or anything like that. But it's just a guide is what we're going to talk about. And I just looked at this and said, "Wow, is there a theme to any of this?" Sometimes there's themes to the show, sometimes there's not. And God said, "Yeah, remember this morning at discipleship group?" Oh, okay, that. So it's been Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Stomach can be translated to mean emotions. Their glory is in their shame. Yeah, that's, wow. Doesn't that speak of the world? Their glory is in their shame. Think of the things that people find glory in and how it's really a shame. There is this human desire to take God's inventions and, let's say exploit them. It's a natural thing. We're to do that in an honest way, to steward this stuff in an honest way. There's something, though, about the business of writing code. It's almost like it's a language that God didn't invent. Almost. It's, of course, not, because it goes to math. Code is backed by math. But there's something about the tech business that makes people feel godlike. And I think it's because you start from nothing and suddenly you have animatory devices in front of you. And I think it can feel godlike to people. And I think Satan likes to take advantage of that. Now, I used to work in tech. I was at Microsoft for years, and I've started tech companies. I've sold tech companies. I've been at the helm of tech companies that cratered. I like selling them better than watching them crater or being part of them cratering. But all that said, there are reasons I have no so-called smart devices in my home. First, if it can be coded, it can be hacked. Secondly, human sin problems make events like this inevitable. Emerald Robinson reports on this.
The Federal Trade Commission is awarding more than $5 million in refunds to Ring doorbell customers. This follows a settlement with Jeff Bezos and the tech giant Amazon, which owns Ring doorbells, in case you didn't know. Agency said in a press release it would be sending out approximately 117,044 payments to consumers who had certain types of Ring devices, including indoor cameras. Ring was charged with compromising its customers' privacy by allowing employees and third-party contractors to access consumers' private videos. They used their private videos to train the algorithms without their consent. And get this, some of those quote-unquote third-party contractors are based in Ukraine. The company buried the information claiming it had a right to use such recordings for product improvement and development. According to the lawsuit, violations included one employee allegedly watching thousands of video recordings belonging to one female customer who had purchased Ring cameras and placed them in intimate places across her home, including her bedroom and bathroom.
There's so much. I almost said something like a teenager. I literally can't. Please don't put Ring cameras in your home. Please. Please understand that you're building a surveillance web that will be used against you. Understand this. I don't know if you remember this news story. There was a guy who came home and tried to get into his own house. And his smart home device, I believe it was an Amazon one, said effectively, "I'm sorry, Hal, I can't do that." It wouldn't let him into his house. Want to know why? He had violated their terms of service. How? He'd said racist things to a delivery driver, and it was overheard by Ring. I believe it was Ring. He said no such thing. He is a black man. And he had to hack his own system to get into his home. Please don't put this stuff in your home. The temptation is so, so big for people to use it to harm you. And the people who are inventing these devices, Jeff Bezos, just think, do you want Bezos looking into your home? And if that doesn't convince you, just the first statement I made is that if it can be coded, it can be hacked. Anyone who tells you there's an unhackable device either knows nothing about tech or is lying. If it can be coded, it can be hacked. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I contend back me up on my position that God does this, puts people in these powerful, influential positions so we can compare their wisdom against God's. The first two sound bites, I have to give credit to Revolver.News. It's how I found out about them. Jared Bernstein is literally the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, the main agency supposedly advising figurehead Biden on economic policy.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
Why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money.
He goes on to say, in answer to the question, that he doesn't know why, if the government's lending us our money, how is it lending us money? If it's lending us our money. It's 2 minutes of a man talking himself into realizing he actually has no idea how our system works. It's very complicated, he says, but it's all okay because we can print money. Okay. Next soundbite, today's Tower Babbling. I'm sure this young woman, Miss Teen USA South Carolina in 2007, has matured into a competent person. And this is not her area of expertise. But in this infamous clip, does she sound any less knowledgeable than Jared Bernstein, who is talking in his area of supposed elite expertise?
When a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map, why do you think this is?
I personally believe U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, I believe that our education over here in the U.S. should help South Africa.
She was confused. It's very sad. I'm sure she's grown into a competent person. But the answer to me is no, she doesn't sound any worse than Jared Bernstein trying to explain, wait, if we can print all our own money, why are we borrowing? And if people are purchasing government bonds with their own money and we pay taxes to the government, isn't that like borrowing money from ourselves or investing our own money to ourselves? The man couldn't answer these questions. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. RFK Jr. comes out in support of so-called gender reassignment surgery and chemical castration for kids, just as long as the parents approve.
There's a big difference between those two things. One, saving somebody's life to transition and cut the How are you saving that person's life? You're going to have to answer this for both parents on both sides.
There is conflicting values here, and one of the values is freedom to do what you want with your own body and have the government tell you you can or you can't do that.
RFK Jr. also said he doesn't know enough. He doesn't know enough to decide whether or not it's a good idea to let parents chemically and surgically mutilate little kids. This is a man who spent his entire life fighting, and I think heroically, against the abuses of Big Pharma. It's the one topic in which I think he's really, really right, that and the CIA and the intelligence services. Now, this stuff, he's way off the map crazy. But you can't discern, as a guy who's tracked pharma your whole life, adult life, that they're using the same swindle they did with the mRNA. You're a father. You don't have the discernment to say no. If a parent thinks that the decision to mutilate their kids at the age of 13 because of teenage emotions is a good idea, those parents are deeply deceived, and they need to be, well, their kids need to be protected from such decisions. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
On a Disciple's View.
A new one. I'm glad to hear that one. That's a classic babbling statement. So I wrap the show up often with an observation from me. And it's just my way of letting you know who I am. You're such kind people to spend this amount of time with us. I think it's a fair trade. So I made the decision to accept a new role in the youth ministry. And this is co-leading with a young man who's 18. He's leading a group of young boys. These are eighth graders. And man, are they different from my mature high school men who are now all men, not just chronologically, but the way they're accepting the Lord, the way that they're walking with him, the way they're choosing to disciple make. They're men. Whoa, what a change. It's a very frustrating experience. 20 junior high kids in a room, not all. Probably, honestly, 6 or 7 of them trying to outdo each other as all the world's a stage, trying to outdo each other, showing how much disregard they have for authority and structure. And I think that they thought they were showing off for the high school boys. And the high school boys were telling them, hey, we don't do that in this group. It didn't matter. Now, towards the end of the group, shifted some tactics and things got to be a little bit better. But there's this defense I've learned with kids like this. It's called radical transparency. One of our rules in the group is that what's said in the group stays in the group unless it involves imminent self-harm or the harm of another, in which case then we do have to disclose that. But what's said in the group stays in the group. So I don't give specifics about what people say. I mean, if there's a general discussion, I can talk about that. When I was mentioning what it is to be a safe place, what that means, how we can share our feelings and be transparent, this kid said, and he's going to be a tough one. He's bigger than the other kids. He's physically more mature, mentally probably less mature than half of them. And he said, you can go to therapy. You can go to therapy if you want. You want to share your feelings. And I said, oh, do you go to therapy? No. Oh, I do. I have PTSD. What are you, a soldier? No. No, it's that my daughter tried to commit suicide about 15 times, and I've slept on the floor of an emergency room next to her probably 5 times. I saw her open up her arm to the point that I could look right at her artery. The funny thing is he looked at me and said, that's legit. I think I told you about this. It's really made an impact on me. Here's the part that just really got me. It was this morning in prayer. I was saying, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. These kids, even my co-lead, this young man who's been leading these boys, was shocked at how bad their behavior was that night. They were probably nervous because they're moving up now to be in the high school group. They're trying to establish dominance. I said, God, I don't know how to handle this. And an image came to my mind of my dear, dear teacher, the Monsignor, I called him, John Traynor, the greatest teacher I've ever had, such a gentle man. He handled me when I was a huge problem by not letting my problem be his problem. I used to like to talk in class, and I used to take over the class. John met me because he was late to class, and I was teaching. I decided to teach because he was late. This was senior year. And when he walked in, I saw him. I said, oh, I'll sit down. He goes, no, please continue. Please continue. He sat where I sat. He goes, where do you sit? I said, here. And he said, well, continue. So I gave my lesson and wrapped it up. And he said, here's the rule, Todd, is every day you have to make a presentation. Every day. You need to come in and explain what's your beef. But it has to come from the topic at hand. We're a current event class. It needs to be current event related. I said, okay. He said, also, you're now my favorite student. It was mental, spiritual jujitsu. And God put his face in my mind. And want to know why? Because I was horrible as a junior high kid. He brought back to me how awful I was. And I felt like I had all sorts of reasons to be awful, my desire for justice. And he brought that back to me. He brought back to me things I said to teachers. And I know I'm a discipled man. Part of me believes this, that a man should have pulled me out of that classroom and beat me silly. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, clearly I'm not going to hit these kids. I'm going to put hands on them unless it's to save another. But God looked me in the eye and said, you're equipped because you're speaking to yourself. These kids are you. So what are you going to do? And I realized, I'm going to rely on you. What an opportunity. In the beginning was the Word is with God, until God decides you and I can speak again together. May His peace that transcends all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.